Well, I did have one praise to share with you for myself last week. I think I might have asked for some prayer for getting my paper done. I did get my paper done and everything submitted on time. I had 3 minutes to spare. I don't know what I was worried about. So, got the paper done, the PowerPoint presentation made from the paper that had to be made too. Everything in on time. So, I'm just waiting on my grade. I do appreciate the prayers. I needed them desperately. The paper was not going on the keyboard. But this morning, we're going to go back to 1 Corinthians. And we're going to be looking at 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 23 through chapter 11, verse 1. Now, just real quickly before I go in and read that, I titled this message, Freedom and Following, and I hope you actually do pay attention to the cover, as I'll be referring to that later. So, everything is permissible, but not everything is beneficial. Everything is permissible, but not everything is constructive. Nobody should seek his own good, but the good of others. Eat everything sold in the meat market without raising questions of conscience, for the earth is the Lord's and everything in it. If some unbeliever invites you to a meal and you want to go, eat whatever is put before you without raising questions of conscience. But if anyone says to you, this has been offered in sacrifice, then do not eat it, both for the sake of the man who told you and for conscience sake, the other man's conscience, I mean, not yours. For why should my freedom be judged by another's conscience? If I take part in the meal with thankfulness, why am I denounced because of something I thank God for? So whether you eat or drink, or whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. Do not cause anyone to stumble, whether Jews, Greeks, or the church of God. Even as I try to please everybody in every way, for I am not seeking my own good, but the good of many, so that they may be saved. Follow my example as I follow the example of Christ. Let's pray. Father God, we do thank you that you give us the examples to follow. Or we do thank you that you have given us instructions, that we don't have to wonder and guess, but that we can turn to your word and we can find your truth. And it does instruct us on how we are to interact with the world. Lord, give us wisdom and discernment that we would know your will. Lord, give us understanding so that we would see how to apply your word and your ways to the world around us today, to each of our individual lives. Lord, I pray that as I come and preach this morning, your Holy Spirit would be powerful here. Lord, that you would speak through me and to each person here. Lord, that nobody here would feel empty or hollow. That nobody here would wonder, is God speaking to me? But that each one here would know your presence. It would know your voice. They would know that you have indeed spoken to them. Lord, be manifestly present here today. Be active and present in each of our lives every day. And right now, Lord, we ask that you would speak. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, this is a passage that could certainly be taken out of context and used inappropriately. Everything is permissible, but not everything is beneficial. Everything is permissible, but not everything constructive. Everything is permissible. Not exactly. Everything is permissible. He's speaking of the dietary restraints that have been put upon the Jewish people earlier in the law, and that Peter had had the vision that those restraints had been removed. And now everything is permissible. Food. Not everything. Whatever action doesn't matter. We need to be in context. We need to stay in context, not take things. Say, well, the Bible says, whatever I want to do, it's okay. As long as the Holy Spirit's speaking to me. Well, I'll tell you what. It's not the Holy Spirit speaking to you if somebody's telling you that it's okay to go out and lie, cheat, steal, murder, various other assignments. Go through the whole list of the Ten Commandments and their variations thereof. If somebody is telling you that it's okay to do that, that's not God. Just for the record. And it certainly is not me. So this everything is permissible. This is referring more to the legalists. These people who come up, they'd taken the law that God had given, and then they created something very similar to the IRS tax code. Something which nobody can understand and nobody can follow. It just can't be done. It's too many pages. It's too thick. There's too much stuff. There's too many loopholes. You know, this is the way it always is, except for in this situation, or except in this situation, or except. And then this penalty for this and that. You can call the IRS and ask them for a ruling, and you call 6 different times, you'll get 10 different rulings. You say, Pastor, that's bad math. Okay, I just leave it to you. Make the phone call. See what you get. But this was the law that the people had. And they said, you can't do this, you can't do that. And that had been set aside. They were no longer under that constraint. The dietary constraints, the constraints of this encumberment that man, the Pharisees, the priests, the scribes had built to supplement God's will. See, God doesn't need a supplemental addition. He doesn't need us to do that and say, well, to really follow God's will, you know, you have to do these steps. It's not in God's word, but trust me on this. You got to do this. That's not what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to take that stuff out. Set it aside. So we have Paul, who's been speaking to the church in Corinth now for a considerable length of time on this whole topic of the food. Why? Well, first off, anybody here eat this week? Most of us have. Maybe one of you is involved in a fast of 7 days length or so, or longer. Usually, though, some point in time, one ends a fast and eats again. So food is something that we all have to have pretty regularly. Daily, for the most part, pretty much. And here in Corinth, where do you get your meat? Down at the meat market. Well, where's the meat market? Meat market is the temples. They're the ones selling the meat. Somebody brought this moo cow, this sheep in, this goat in, whatever. They brought it to the temple. Sacrifice, They take a little bit, throw it on the altar, take the rest of it, put it out here to sell. That's how they make their money. They didn't just have butcher shops. The butcher shop was the temple. So if you wanted meat, that's where you went to get it. If you lived in town. Obviously, somebody lived in the country, they could do their own butchering, etc. Often did, but city dwellers generally get annoyed if you're butchering animals in your front yard. Right? Anybody here ever try that? I was doing a deer in my backyard here a couple of years ago, and some people were looking kind of funny at me. You know, if I was doing that on a weekly basis, I'm pretty sure I'd get in trouble. It's just the way it is. You know, you don't do that when you have a lot of people around close. He goes to a specific area and you do it over there. You keep it clean, helps keep disease from spreading, etc. So that's the way it works. So you got this meat. You want meat. Now, by Jewish law, that meat's not kosher. Doesn't meet the dietary requirements. You can't have it. You got to go find yourself a Jewish butcher. You got to get it done. Well, these towns may or may not have had a Jewish butcher in them. They certainly weren't convenient or as large as the others. We're not constrained by the law. Why are we going by this? As long as I offer to God thanksgiving for what I eat, where does it matter where it came from? And Paul's saying here, it doesn't. It doesn't matter where it came from. You're free from that burden. What's important is your relationship between you and God. What are you doing? Are you thanking some demon for this meat? Well, then you're in trouble. But if you're the one, if you're thanking God for His provision for you, then you're okay. Not a problem. However, but, all those other halt words, stop. But not everything is beneficial. But not everything is constructive. Nobody should seek his own good but the good of others. Huh? What's Paul talking about here? Well, you know what? I don't have any issues when I go to different Chinese restaurants or places. Go to a few of these places. I see a lot of these places have got these little altars set up. That's their little thing, and they operate there. They worship there. Does that mean, I'm not eating in this place? They've got a little altar set up. I could take that attitude. But they don't come up to the table and say, welcome to my restaurant. I want you to know that the food I'm serving to you today has been offered to my God, and you will be entering into worship as we eat this meal. Now, if they did that, I wouldn't be able to stay there and eat. I would have to say, oh, excuse me. See, I don't believe in your God. And I can't worship Him because I worship not only. Now, on the one hand, I could have just, whatever, I'm accepting God, and no judgment would come upon me for that. However, it's not best, it's not beneficial, because I'm not telling them about Jesus when I have that opportunity. I'm not laying out before them that what they're doing is wrong, even though it's been put before me. If I have somebody who comes up and tells me that they're doing something wrong, and I say nothing, Paul is telling us here that we're missing the mark. We're not doing what we should be doing then. It's our job to go that one step further, to be concerned with others. See, that's what love is, selfless and benevolent. That is, I want to do what's best for somebody, not necessarily what they want, what they desire, but what's going to be the best for them. And it's going to be best for them if I tell them, that's not my God. And if you'd like to know about my God, I'll be happy to tell you, but I cannot worship, and I will not worship anyone but the Lord in heaven. Even though in essence I could have just kept my mouth shut, but figuratively speaking, because I would have had to open it to eat, of course. But I could have just not said anything and just said, Lord, I thank you for these gifts for which I'm about to receive, and Lord, I just pray for these lost heathen. Could have done that. But that's not good enough. That's not the example that we've been given to follow. Is that what Jesus would have done? I mean, as cheesy as the what would Jesus do bracelets may have been in the whole thing a few years ago. Some people thought it was cheesy and funny. Some people thought it was life-changing. So I don't want to get too much on that. But what would Jesus do? Legitimate question. Especially when we come down here to the end of the verse that we're looking at today. Even as I try to please everybody, for I am not seeking my own good, but the good of many, so that they may be saved. Follow my example as I follow the example of Christ. See, Paul is setting forth the example of, he's following Christ. So, follow me as long as I'm following Christ. Now, I thought about having a deal where I got you all up and we all lined up and had an interactive deal, but I know some of you would get grouchy about that. So we're not going to get too interactive today. Some of you would really love it, but say I lined us all up and I'm in the lead and I'm saying, okay, do a Simon Says thing. But the thing is, you got to follow the person that's in front of you in the line, but only if they do the thing that the person at the front of the line did. Well, that's harder for the ones at the back of the line to tell. But that's basically what Paul's saying there. He's saying, follow me as I follow Christ. Don't get too many people in between us. But and I have to say, stand up here as pastor and say, follow me as I follow Christ. If I'm not following Christ, don't follow me. I'm going the wrong way. But as I'm following Christ, follow me. And I'm going to seek to follow Him as closely as possible. The issue here is not about me. It's about others. It's the other person's conscience. It's the lost, whether they be Jew, whether they be Greek, whether it be of the church or not. Whether there's somebody new in the faith, just a baby Christian who just doesn't know. Am I living my life? Am I following God in such a manner that what I'm doing is helping them walk close with God? That's the measurement that we're being asked here. I can, in freedom in Christ, do certain things that somebody else may not. I can eat food that's been sacrificed at some temple. As long as my attitude is, Lord, I give you the praise and glory for it. I thank you. I'm not entering into that worship. And I'm not eating any condemnation upon myself. I'm not sinning. However, if in that freedom, somebody else is seeing me and what they see appears to them to be my entering into that worship, now I might be causing them to stumble. This is where Paul is saying, hold it. You need to be aware of what you do and how it looks to others. When we go to Ephesians chapter 5, be imitators of God, therefore. Where have we heard this before? This is what Paul is telling us. Chapter 11, verse 1. Be imitators of Him as He is an imitator of Christ. Be imitators of God, therefore, as dearly loved children. Live a life of love, just as Christ loved us and gave Himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. But among you there must not be a hint of sexual immorality or any kind of impurity or of greed, because these are improper for God's holy people. Nor should there be obscenity, foolish talk, or coarse joking, which are out of place, but rather thanksgiving. For this you can be sure, no immoral, impure, or greedy person, such a man as an idolater, has an inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of such things God's wrath comes upon those who are disobedient. Therefore do not be partners with them. The point that I wanted to tie these two together is the instructions to follow God, and that it's about what others are seeing. We're not to have even the appearance of sin in our life. That's the goal that we're shooting for. Oh, Pastor, that's a pretty tough one. Yeah. That's real tough. Anybody here sinless? Good church. We all recognize, yeah, we're sinners. Anybody here been forgiven of all their sins? Yeah. Difference. I have sinned. But yet, I sin less today than I used to. Though I still sin, I'm working hard on that. But I'm never going to get there, this side of heaven, where I don't sin. Because I still have that fallen nature in me. But yet, the more that I imitate God, the easier it comes to follow God. The more that I practice being like Jesus, the easier it comes to be like Jesus. The more that I speak up when that situation comes, the easier it is for me to do so. The first time you do something like that, oh, it's not easy. It's pretty tough. Anybody here afraid of public speaking? Got a couple hands. Don't the public guy people are afraid of public speaking? They're not raising their hand. Why? Because they don't. No. I'm going to pick on Mike. I can do that because he's an elder. Mike and public speaking. It's safe for me to say that if I told you that Mike does not enjoy public speaking, he would not get mad at me. That this is a truth. And those of you who know Mike recognize that that's not his thing. Mike does get up here and give announcements and pray. For him, that was a huge step. Why? He doesn't like it. But he practiced and he did more of it. And he's done more of it over the years. And as he's done it, it's become easier. Now that's same with good things or bad things. If I practice sin, it becomes much easier to sin. It becomes much, much easier for me to continue down that path. It becomes much more natural. But if I practice following God, the more that I do so, the easier it becomes. Now, occasionally, you know, you ever do one of those line dances where you're, or something where you're supposed to be following somebody? And if you know the dance and you practice a lot, you can do it. But if you're learning it the first time, you're like, First off, I have no rhythm. Okay, that's why I don't clap and sing when we do. I can sing or I can clap. I can't do both. So this is why I didn't do well in band. Keeping a rhythm just isn't keeping the beat. You know, it's not my gift. But as I practice, I get better at it. You know, and if I learn it, it's really tough for me when at summer camp where we do Pharaoh, Pharaoh. Okay, I do the dance thing. We're singing, we're doing Pharaoh, Pharaoh. Oh, baby, let my people go. You know, I'm like, I got to think and try to do these things at once. And I'm like, you know, after 3 weeks, I was getting better at it. But I have to practice. We have to practice to follow Jesus. The more we follow Him, the better we're at. We have to practice if we're going to say, hey, I'm sorry, I can't do this. This doesn't glorify God. And somebody says, what we're about to do, we're going to enter into a sinful activity. Now, they may not state it quite that way. I'm guessing. But they may say something like, hey, we're going to have a party. I'm going to hire a stripper. You're like, I'll go like this. No, that's not good enough. I have to say, no, that's a bad idea. No, I'm not going to be there if you do that. No. No. I try to use extreme examples. It's easier. But where's a not-so-extreme example? Maybe it's what you're watching on TV. Going over to a friend's house. You sit down. Nope. I'm sorry, I can't watch that. It's just, you know, I don't find that God-honoring. That's what we're taking into us. The food that we take in, whether we're talking physical food, spiritual food, things that we take in, we need to regulate and guide it. And we can enter into certain areas. Now, I've gone places and done things with God's covering that I should ought not to go to otherwise. When I was involved with motorcycle ministry, we went to Sturgis and we went to various parties. And people were doing drugs, behaving promiscuously, dressing, really not dressed, for the most part. I mean, there was clothing, kind of. I think it was meant to be clothing, but it wasn't what I would call clothing. But when we went there, we went, first we prayed up, and we went with the armor of God on, and we went with the covering of prayer with those people praying for us back home and praying before we went that God would carry us through and grant us opportunities. And when we had opportunity to say something, we said something. Say it in a loving manner, in a way so as not to be a hindrance to the gospel, but yet to work into these people's lives. Now, if I go there, and when we went, probably we dressed appropriately, and we let everybody know who and what we were. And we didn't enter into the type of activity or goal in those particular areas where those things were occurring directly. And we would help those who were trying to get out of that scenario. Saying, you know, I really have a problem. I need some help. We'd be there for them. But for me to just go to that a party like that just because it's fun, well, that's probably not a good idea. In fact, I know it's not. May be permissible, but it's not the best thing. In fact, probably a bad idea. Trying to show the difference between the two, one where you're going with God's leading direction and one where you're just walking through your life. Trying to say, where am I going today? Well, where's Peter? He's following Jesus. Follow him. That's the direction that we're supposed to be going. Some unbeliever invites you to a meal and you want to go eat whatever is put before you. You know, we need to interact with those who aren't Christians. Unbelievers. They have to go and be intimate in their lives. Having a meal is an intimacy. To go and eat at somebody's house. I think it's great to go out and have meals with people. I have the ministry of eating. And to go out and share a meal with somebody is a wonderful thing. And it's really how you show somebody that you like them and that you trust them and that you want to get to know them and you want to trust them. It's how you build relationship across many, many cultures all around the world. And here Paul's telling us, if somebody invites you, go. This is a good thing. However, if they tell you this is my worship, then you have to say something. At that point, and you do it in a loving manner. Don't do it in what? I didn't realize that you were a heathen. I'm getting out of here. It's like, no, I'm sorry. I can't participate in that. And that's for your benefit, not mine. Different attitudes entirely. But this is the attitude that Paul is bringing to us. This is the attitude that Jesus had. This is the attitude that we're instructed to walk through our daily lives with. To follow. We have freedom. Now on the cover of the bulletin, I've got a small child carrying a stuffed animal. Ever watch a little kid walk with a stuffed animal, follow, go whatever? Then they lost whoever they were following because they get distracted. That's not the way we're supposed to follow, but that's the way we often do follow. We're children. We don't follow God so good all the time. We need to work on it. We need to be following Him closely as if it is a line dance. I'm kind of silly in various things. Online, when I tell people, I say conga rats instead of congratulations. Conga rats. I have envisioned in my head some rats dancing the conga. Now, in order to dance the conga, you got to be paying attention. Like I said, I really need to focus. We really need to focus as we go through our lives. To follow Christ each step. Why? So whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. Do not cause anyone to stumble, whether Jews, Greeks, or the church of God. For I am not seeking my own good, but the good of many, so that they may be saved. So that they may be saved. For God's glory, so that they may be saved. It's not about me. It's not about me having the freedom to do what I want to do. It's about me giving up my freedom to follow. Amazingly enough, a U.S. person in the military has the least freedom of any person, of U.S. citizen who is not imprisoned. They have a much stricter code they have to follow. As citizens of the U.S., they're free to speak their voice and to say, I don't like the president. But as a person in the military, they're not allowed to say that. That's their commander-in-chief. They could be court-martialed. They could be shot. As a Christian, a member of the kingdom of God, a citizen of heaven, you have freedom to eat and do a lot. But as a member of the army of God, you need to follow orders. We need to follow our head, that is Christ. All those whom He's put over us, as they follow closely He who is our head. Let's pray. Father, we thank You that You do lead. Lord, help us to follow. Lord, we have freedom. We've got freedom to follow You or to choose not to follow You, to follow You completely and fully, or to follow You just kind of part way. Father, might we choose in our freedom to follow You completely and fully each and every day, all the time. Lord, for the benefit and glory of You and Your kingdom, so that others might be drawn to You, that they might be saved. Lord, in our freedom, might we not be self-absorbed and focused on ourselves, but instead might we turn outwards and look to the lost around us, to look to new and younger members of the body in Christ, and how we can best encourage and lead them to walk closely with You. Father, might we lead where You follow. Might we walk step in step with You. We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand as we close. We're going to be singing There's Something About That Name.